Nature Bites Science podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to David Milan, who is Sales Director UK and Ireland at DocuWare. We will be talking about Intelligent Document Processing, or IDP. We will discuss its evolution and how this AI-powered technology is transforming business operations. David, welcome to the podcast. Could you open up with a little bit about yourself and your background in IDP?
Hi, Steve. Of course, yes. Hi, everyone. David Milan. I've got about just shy of 20 years of experience in the content management space that has given me a front row seat as to how capture solutions in general have evolved over time, for the lack of a better word. IDP was really born from the original zonal capture that we did many, many years ago to more advanced either generative or discriminative AI engines as we see them today.
Can you explain what IDP actually is today and how it's evolved since the advent of AI especially? You talked about capture solutions, for example, and some people may not remember them. I've got lots of grey hair, so I do.
Absolutely. IDP, ultimately, it's got so many different flavors out there. And if we have to take a look at that real industry description of what IDP is, it is intelligent document processing. It is processing my information from point A to point B in a better way. If we take a look at capture solutions specifically, it is getting enough information off this content that I have so that I can use this information to automate through the life cycle of this document, i.e. reduce the errors and significantly reduce the amount of time that a human have to spend processing that information. Because let's admit it, we are all human and we make mistakes and we don't like doing those repetitive manual things. We just want to focus on what is important. So where has it come from? It's literally come from me telling you what to do to you learning yourself what you want to do. Can you believe I just referred to software as you? But also becoming even more intelligent to learning yourself what you should be doing. That is where we sit today. I can either use something discriminative as to understand what I'm looking at. I've seen this before. I know how to process this, look for additional information and process it accordingly, to something more generative of make up your mind and even become a little bit more understanding as to the total flow and give me even more information that you might not even see in front of you.
What kind of documents are we talking about? Because there's obviously a lot of different documents in businesses.
Different industries, of course, have different requirements, and different industries have other things that is important for them. That question could be answered differently for even any type of company as well. If I had to take a look at the logistics company, for example, it will be incredibly important for them to be able to classify the huge amount of different documents that they have through the life cycle of one shipment. It could be customs documents, weighbills. There could be pictures taken of number plates that came off weigh bridges, for example. And these documents are bad quality, and I want to be able to collect them. I want to be able to tell which ones am I missing, and I want to be able to make sure that the information that I read off these documents are accurate so they can be used during the workflow process. But then people that work in B2C, for example, have a lot of application forms, very often hand-filled. And processing these hand-filled documents is very time-consuming and error-prone. And then, of course, we have our general finance process. Especially in the UK, we've got these very complex structures of our invoices, and we've got these consolidated invoices that's got invoice information upon invoice information. I'm relying on humans to sometimes 50 to 100 page documents and make sense of these documents and match them to other documents like purchase orders, which could be very time consuming. So that's just three examples from different industries of document types that could be important.
You talk about the end-to-end life of the document. How does IDP integrate into other technologies? Is it now integrating into other AI-powered technologies as well?
AI is evolving heavily every single day. It's quite crazy. I remember having a conversation just a couple of weeks ago when we launched our new intelligent document processing engine, which is fully AI-based. This person told me, but I didn't even know that IDP was a term. I thought we just chose it for our product. But in actual fact, it has been there, and it's also evolved over time as to what it means. Yes, IDP is evolving. Yes, the terminology is evolving, but obviously also so is the integration into other products. Where I, in the past, if I wanted to do something with generative AI, maybe did some integration with ChatGPT, for example, to send some information and get responses back. things are now evolving because AI is evolving and the way that people are using even open source AI is evolving. If I take a look at some Microsoft solutions that is available with integration with OpenAI, it really opens up the world as to what is possible. It is incredibly integratable because it needs to be able to talk to different databases and different systems to be able to get information and to make intelligent decisions. It becomes more important as to where I draw the line as from a company compliance perspective, what should be available in all these open source engines and what shouldn't be.
And going back to Document Catcher, one of the criticisms that I saw and heard in the early days is it wasn't great always at every type of document. So the data accuracy wasn't brilliant. How has that changed and how has AI made a difference on that in terms of its accuracy and then that decision-making process?
AI is something that is a lot for us to understand as humans. It is a crazy concept because it continues to learn. And it learns much quicker than you and I can, unfortunately, Stephen. It never gets gray like us. Ultimately, it will continue to evolve. So document types become kind of irrelevant, right? If I've taught you one thing, I can teach you another thing. And because you're smarter than me and you can just hold so much more information in your brain, you just learn how to process these different types of documents. So document type, I want to say, is irrelevant. The more unstructured it becomes, and the more it learns how to understand this unstructured content that's being fed into it, it will even open up possibilities to understand more than just document and content in general.
You mentioned number plate recognition, but what about handwriting? Is that evolving as well?
Handwriting has evolved because what we've known as OCR is not OCR anymore. Optical character recognition used to be reading text on the page and matching that to patterns that is available to understand what is an A and what is a B and what is a 1 and what is a 2. OCR is also changing because now AI engine is making sense of this image that it sees in front of it and is extracting that information to be able to report on what is A and what is B. So because the OCR layer, if I can still refer to it as OCR, is significantly better than what we've had in the past, handwriting recognition now becomes much, much easier and much cheaper to accomplish. People might say, but hold on, we're moving away from documents. Yeah, we are moving away from documents slowly but surely. But ultimately, it's still going to be a good number of years, and I need to automate now, and I need to process now. So where document capture might be completely gone in 15 to 20 years from now, at the moment, it's incredibly relevant. And especially handwriting also needs to be read by these engines to be fully automated.
Should we call it OR rather than OCR, just calling it optical recognition, really?
Hey, that's a good idea. We should start a trend and see if we can change the market's perception.
How does IDP contribute to the overall digital transformation of businesses? Where does it fit into that? Because it's only a component part.
It also is a matter of perception and the matter of how different review companies perceive the technology and how technology providers like DocuWeb perceive the technology to be. So it depends on how we refer to it, how far it will take it. If you take a look at some solutions, it will do document capture and extract information off the page. It will report that information and check it to databases and make sure that it's correct and also check it against some logic. And then it will report on any missing information and will match that to other information available to be able to process it. And only should it really need a human's interaction will it actually ask for a response. But it also depends on a specific IDP engine and what that IDP engine is set up to do. Some of them might only be focused on capture and some of them might be focused on the entire lifecycle of document.
What are the challenges businesses face when they're implementing IDP?
The challenges that we see lately within businesses is mostly related to what the understanding is of what the technology can offer. And that is why it's so important to trust or be able to trust your technology partner that you've decided to partner with. It should be somebody that fully understands business processes, understand your business well enough to be able to advise how the technology should be implemented within the business to make it better and make it more efficient and to automate things. And also understand where the specific technology sits. When implementing, the challenges that we see is a lot of compliance challenges. Is this ticking the boxes to our internal compliance processes? And you still see that vastly different across even enterprise businesses as well as SMB businesses, that some businesses have approached a very firm stance on compliance. The understanding of the technology is obviously the biggest barrier there. because understanding what compliance impact a specific solution will have is also my understanding of that solution and what it does and what it has to offer. So compliance and understanding of the technology is the biggest stumbling blocks that I see.
How does DocuWare differentiate on that challenge?
We try to at least guide our customers as to how to solve the business problem rather than to look at the technology set itself. Of course, security questions and compliance is incredibly important. We need to make sure that we tick those boxes from a vendor perspective. But we always try to look at an implementation from the problem side rather than the technology side to make sure that specific tick boxes are ticked and the customer is getting what they expect.
You mentioned security, and obviously that's one of the top priorities for CIOs and enterprises today. What are the security risks of IDP, and how does DocuWare mitigate them? Because obviously if you're collecting data off any type of document, that might have PII, for example. So I'm just intrigued as to how you meet that challenge.
Most probably the most important question that needs to be answered in most enterprise engagements. If we read a little bit of social media or read a couple of articles on generative AI, then we can see different people's stances. Some people think it's going to take their jobs. Even tomorrow, I read a very interesting book, The AI Edge, the other day, that actually had very nice terminology that I can never remember that refers to the specific use cases of AI within the industry. Security is directly related to it. Where is my data shared and who has access to my data, especially if we're considering that it's AI and it learns. And if it learns, it must keep a database of information. And if it keeps a database of information, what information is it actually keeping about me? That's the question that I need to answer, and that is what my compliance needs to be in place internally to be able to manage those kind of questions so that I can engage with AI technology providers. DocuWare mitigates that by simply keeping our customers' data completely segregated, meaning that learnings that it does from your documents, for example, is not shared within the pool of documents generally, and only conceptually is the AI engine learning. So the AI engine can't learn based on your content and take that information and implement that into a customer case, which sometimes makes implementation time frames slightly longer, but it also makes AI robots specific to my implementation and understanding what my implementation requires.
When you say implementation slightly longer, what about the return on investment? Because obviously that's a key thing for most business leaders. What kind of time scale for ROI are we looking at here?
That's also quite variable. And of course, I'm a salesman, so I need to say something about it. Return of investment, I find, is becoming even more difficult to calculate. You'll meet some Sigma black belt guys that will come and say, of course, now we can do a return of investment for you. We'll ask you a couple of questions and we'll dial straight into the data. And then you'll get to the lazy salesperson that will do a return of investment only on the amount of time that a person will save. Of course, time could be a great return of investment calculator, especially if I know what a person would be doing with that time instead of what they've been doing now. Because realistically, getting rid of staff is not an answer, because staff has certain skill sets within my business that is critical. And even if only 10% of their time is applied to that skill set, I might want to reinvest their time better somewhere else in the business to give me a significantly better return of investment. Yes, there's a lot of tangible ROI that can be found from IDP implementations. A reduction in errors generally results in an improvement of the top or bottom line. I can save a huge amount of costs, like, for example, matching documents accurately improves my cash flow or gets people to pay me more accurately or actually do pay me. But more importantly, I'm also improving my image. I'm responding quicker and I'm becoming more efficient, which has a direct impact on my relationship with my suppliers as well as my relationship with my customers. And we see that from efficient businesses all over the world. How much more does people want to engage with them because they're more efficient, because they're more effective? Because it just looks like they've got this streamlined, well-oiled machine. It's just attractive to do business with them. That's where ROI sits. And you can imagine how much more money I potentially generate. Okay, Mr. Customer, I'll do an ROI on 3%, but actually I don't really know.
Does the volume of documents within an organization that you want to process, does that have a factor in terms of the speed of ROI and maybe the speed of implementation as well?
That's why we do discovery calls with our customers, because I should tell my customer if it's not a good idea for him to implement something. And I also want to make sure that the customer that I'm talking to, the client that I'm talking to, actually have a need for my solution or if I'm just wasting my time. very low volumes of documentation. If we take a look at invoice processing, if you're processing less than 100 invoices a month, yeah, we've got a lot of customers that use our solutions with less than that. But is it really worth your while for this investment? There'll be a return of investment, but will it be large enough to even just consider the disruption to the business of changing the technology set that we're using internally? Of course, it's not only invoices that we think about, because lots of companies would have small payables departments but large receivables. They would have great sales organizations, or they'd need a lot of help to automate HR processes. And then the return of investment when starting to look at all these different departments becomes easy to quantify. So once again, I'm going to give you the unfortunate answer of how long is a piece of string. It depends on what I want to change rather than the volume of what I'm changing and what impact that would have on the business.
If I'm a CIO or business leader thinking about IDP, how can I select the right pilot or case study within the organization to go for? What are the key things I need to look out for that will make this technology work for me?
There's often in my life that I've counted myself lucky rather than to be in sales than rather the person that has to do the procurement. Although, of course, I've done a lot of procurement in my life, but I'm more the guy that does the investigation myself. And we're seeing that more and more in the market, where our customers want to do their own research. They want to understand the technology on their own terms without speaking to a salesperson right up front. So they want enough knowledge to be able to carry that conversation, especially when we get to the larger organizations, not necessarily enterprise, but the larger mid-sized organizations tend to follow the same structure. I do, however, still say find a trusted advisor. Find somebody that consults around the business process rather than the technology. Understand where's the bottlenecks within it and understand the technology set globally to be able to understand how we can fix those. Once you have identified that area where you've got this challenge, and that might be in your finance department in the payables or receivables, or it might be within HR where people take a huge amount of time to respond to certain cases. But the area for automation is everywhere within your business. Because having people released from doing manual repeated activities and focusing on what is important and focusing on exceptions and speaking to your customers and speaking to your suppliers and looking at your overall efficiency, that is what's truly valuable within businesses. I can't identify a specific area where you should start, but I can say find a trusted advisor. Find somebody to help you to understand where the bottlenecks currently are within your systems to improve them.
If employees are doing less of that manual work, are they getting the organizational knowledge that they need in order to answer the exceptions? Now, in the early days, that's not going to be a problem because they've done that manual knowledge all the way through. But how do you see those employees being able to answer those questions going forward in 5 or 10 years' time? The example you use of car showroom, you do all your shopping online. How does the guy in the car showroom actually get the understanding of all the questions they're going to be asked if they're never actually asking those questions, and all they're doing is proactive selling in a sense, and not maybe going through some of the stuff they would have done historically?
That's a great question, because we also see that in our industry in different ways of working. We see that now with the introduction of AI, how we communicate with our customers. I had a couple of calls this morning with partners that are busy with lead generation campaigns and the way that we are using AI to write messaging. And I also use similar technology in creating of proposals. I very often speak to people that believes, look, I need to understand my customer well enough to be able to have the conversation myself. I could not agree more. I also couldn't agree more with your statement of I need to understand the process well enough. But now I can do a recording and ask an AI engine, how would I implement DocuWare to solve these customers' problems? And in most cases, it would give me a very accurate answer, make no mistake. But how important is it for me as the consultant for the customer to make sure that I understand what that response is? I've actually seen quite the opposite of what you would expect. I have seen an improvement in the quality of consultants. Because when in the past you would have used templates and maybe not changed the template a lot in a return of investment calculation or a proposal or a scope of work, But now they, because they are reviewing this content from the AI engine, what the AI engine is delivering, they also understanding the benefit better, or they are understanding the challenge better, where the AI bot is actually explaining the challenge to them. So we've seen, especially with the junior guys, that takes the sale normally up to a certain point, that they understand it so much quicker and they understand it so much better. And I think although the AI engines are doing a lot of work for us and it's doing a lot of responses for us, I still think it's giving us enough information as feedback to understand what they are doing. And we see that within our engine, right? I've extracted all this information. You can check it for me if you're right, or you can validate it to external systems. But ultimately, I get like a pop-up or a task to say, I've done all of this work. This is what I've done. I've matched this information. I've extracted it off the page. And that actually gives the human a better understanding that might have missed stuff in the past because it was simply too much work.
Will the employees of the future understand enough to validate the AI?
If you've got senior leaders that understand things well enough, they'll also be able to identify where people don't really have the knowledge and also understand the importance of the knowledge. Because the knowledge is going to be critically important. And if it's going to make people lazy and make them not do their job, then that will be a real challenge. And that might become our biggest challenge in the future.
You've seen a lot of rollouts of IDP. Can you give a couple of examples where IDP has been used in business operations and what the actual benefit delivered was?
I can go back years here. I'll take the last three as a very good example. We've implemented for a very large local UK-based logistics company in just automating the way that they are delivering information to their contract staff. You can imagine some of these logistics companies have a huge amount of rollover of staff where they have certain drivers coming in for certain periods of time and then maybe not even in the business for a while before they come back. And being able to manage that sheer volume of communication around payslips, around communication, around benefit letters and so forth is something that they needed to sort out. And DocuWare could easily identify where documents were supposed to go, store them in the correct place and distribute them accordingly, and also report on where there's any issues where deliveries hasn't been made or where certain people haven't been able to get their information. And also where there's information missing to complete the documentation. What data do I currently have and what do I need to complete this process? That you can imagine is quite a massive ROI considering the sheer volume of over 80,000 employees that documentation needs to be delivered to. Other use cases that we very often have done in the hotel space, one of the names that I can easily use because of a case study on a website is Q Green Hotel Group, that has automated their finance department so much that they are completely comfortable with data flowing in and out of the department. Am I supposed to pay this invoice? Is there budget for certain purchase requisitions coming into the environment? Can I comfortably post information to my ERP systems, questions that needs to be answered? And does that mean that my staff can now truly focus on being accurate, making less mistakes, making sure that stock is in place? And that is a great value for every organization, understanding that I know exactly what is payable next month. I know what the tax and VAT implications are, and I know what accruals I need to forecast for. That's two very nice examples of more or less an HR automation where we didn't even look at processes, just specific documentation and finances where it can benefit payables and receivables within organizations.
What are the future enhancements you see in IDP technology coming through in the next couple of years?
It's the same question as to say, are we going to drive a car soon? I was at an insurance event the other day. One of the main topics of the event was, how is insurance going to work in the next couple of years if people are not driving cars anymore? It just blows your mind. That is the same that we can talk about IDP and any generative AI for that matter, especially if linked to business processes and content. The sky is the limit. On a weekly basis, we are identifying new use cases in the market because we are consulting with our customers, understanding the business processes, and then, of course, adapting our technology accordingly to fit into those business processes. We're going to look at total automation as people start adopting IDP from a compliance perspective, getting back to the security question again. The moment that they start trusting it, I can see that certain low-level business decisions will be made completely in an automated way, which will, of course, carry a huge ROI for most businesses.
What about keeping the human in the loop? Because that's obviously a concern for some leaders. Do we automate everything? Are we just going to go to a world run by AI?
That's a great question, Steve. I'm a very firm believer in the human, although you can hear that I'm also a firm believer in AI and what automation that can give within the business. There's certain positions that obviously will look completely different within a couple of years, and we just have to accept that. And people have to adjust themselves accordingly. But ultimately, the human element cannot be removed, because the human element is the reason why people make revenue. I need somebody to sell to, and because of that, I need somebody to have an income. I also need somebody to be personal and be able to engage with people and be able to communicate with them and express themselves, that AI will never be able to do. AI will never be able to have a feeling about something or care if it gives you a positive or negative response. And for that reason, the human element will always be important.
But if you remove all the interaction between businesses by using agentic AI, how are those humans actually going to start building that relationship?
Exceptions will always be there, right? I asked ChatGPT the other day, it was a question around my car, it was something silly. I wanted to know something about my car, can't remember exactly what it was. It was one of the dealerships that I can go to, and it pointed me to a dealership that closed 7 years ago. Every time that I get a response like this, I say, are you sure? Because this one closed 7 years ago. Oh, yes, you are correct. Thank you for pointing it out. AI has got a very far to go. And some of the responses that I get has to be double-checked and triple-checked. Due to the exception, it means humans are now going to have more time to communicate with each other. Because where I used to spend 10% of my time focusing on exceptions, I can now spend 30 or 40% of my time focusing on exceptions in communication.
How's agentic AI going to impact IDP? What's DocuWare doing around agentic AI?
Most AI engines, saying most AI engines is most probably a little bit optimistic, but most AI engines is ready to be agentic AI, ready to let it loose, let it do all the automation, let it do all the work for me without human intervention. But ultimately, can I trust it to do that? And because you don't have a specific feeling about it, can you respond? Now, I've bought my latest car without speaking to anybody at the dealership. I went online, I looked at certain information to make up my mind. But I did not speak to a salesperson until it came to the actual point of negotiation. But I wouldn't want to negotiate with an AI person that has no feeling about me. I wouldn't want to negotiate with somebody that is going to tell me a price and let me just be on with it. And when somebody comes to service that vehicle, I most certainly also don't want to talk about somebody that doesn't really understand the way that I feel about this problem. And I put the emphasis on the word feel. Yes, I think most AI engines is ready for agentic AI. I think there's a couple of switches that needs to be done. And of course, we need to make sure that we can fully trust the systems. And once again, there will be some positions that will become obsolete, but there will be some positions that will be magnified, and there will be other opportunities available for people that currently sit within those areas where AI will take completely over. Is DocuWare focusing on this? I would say no, because our customers are not. Do we have the capability of doing it? Yes, we do. But when our customers are ready for these kind of advancements.
Why aren't your customers ready for agentic?
Apprehension. That's the only reason. It's purely apprehension. It's not only about the fact that I'm going to replace staff. That inherently people do not want to do. But also, am I ready for you to make all the decisions?
What advice would you give to those investigating IDP to replace existing technology and add to their technology stack?
People that are looking at replacing certain technology with IDP, they're obviously focusing around flow of content and flow of documents within the organization. That's the area where they're focusing on. And if they're looking on IDP to replace some of those technologies, the answer will 99.9% of the case be yes, you should. Because the technology that you're using is obviously outdated, and what IDP offers with AI integration is obviously going to bring massive benefit and massive ROI to the organization, even if you already have something in place that generated an ROI in the past. What can I implement to further automate and further improve the automation that I have internally to make me more efficient, more effective, and just look like this incredibly powerful company externally to vendors and customers?
We've talked about customers, but there are a number of other sectors that could be interested in this. I'd like to take ISVs first, because obviously IDP integrates into lots of different technologies and you can see the benefits of CRM, you mentioned HR, ERP. What's the route for an ISV who's thinking, do I write IDP or do I partner? And can they partner with DocuWare, and how do they go about that?
I'm not a developer, but I've been in the technology space for many, many years. If I had to just consider developing something like this and taking a look at the challenges that some companies went through, even the biggest ones in the world, to get their technology stable and ready for market, that would be really gutsy. That would be something that shows, look, you're ready for some challenges. I would absolutely suggest integrating, right? If the technology is ready, and most IDP solutions are not customer facing, they're running in the background. They're giving you as an ISV the ability to use this technology, and nobody else even knows what technology you're using at the back. It looks like your own. Yes, absolutely. DocuWare also offers technology like this where we sit at the back of our customer solutions. And in fact, our capture engine is used by even our competitors within the market to be able to offer automation around the capture process into their own technology set. But generally, just ISPs, channel partners, resellers of technology solutions can find a lot of benefit in this, because the current technology stack that we all offer our customers becomes obsolete over a couple of years, and we've got to continue evolving with the market. We've got to take a look at what technology is available that we can offer our customers, so that our customer sees value in doing business with us, so that when they need something, irrelevant of how small it is, that they can pick up the phone and they can phone me and say, David, you know what? I've got this challenge. Can you guys help me with it? That's where we all want to be. Understanding where those gaps are within my current offering to my customers. Is it actually something that my customers are after? Is it something that is changing their lives? Is it something that's changing their business, and do they get a personal value from using the technology set? Then you're okay. But if there's gaps, if there's areas within your business that generally needs a little bit more of a push or a little bit more of an overall technology look, then it's always valuable to look at partnering with somebody to fill that gap.
David, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for the chat. Hopefully we can do it again.